that makes me feel good today, knowing that I don't have to fight the battle within myself alone. It's the Lord's battle. He's going to fight it for us if we'll stand in the affirmity of the finished work of Calvary. If we'll trust Him. He just wants us to trust Him. He wants us to believe that He's able. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. Last week was a special week. Brother Setzer coming in, our homecoming service, and he talked about missions, and it was not the typical homecoming message, but it was prophetic for this church. And he told me this. He looked at our facilities and seen all that we have, what the Lord has done here with the growth of our church and the Christian school, the daycare that's now open, and the school of ministry. And he told me, he said, Brother Matt, he just walked the property on that Saturday, and he said, everything that God has done all these years has set you up, this church body, to reach the lost, not just locally in our local area, but around the world. And he said this to me. He said, you're going to see God's about to move miraculously in missions in this church. Let me tell you something. Whenever we really begin to reach out to people that are less fortunate, that cannot do anything for us, that's where true joy and fulfillment comes from. And a lot of the problems that we have and a lot of our gripes and complaints and our woes will all disappear when we start blessing others and we start helping others. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you really start pouring in and really giving to others, and that is what it's all about. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what it's all about. The reason why we're born, the reason why He saved us, is to reach this lost world for Him. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 12. Again, there are times, certain years, I preach specifically Mother's Day and Father's Day messages, but I have not felt led to do that this year. I do want to say after the service today, for all the fathers in the house, we have a gift for you. Please do not leave without getting a gift up here. We have so many that have left to go see their dads. We understand that. It's a very special day. Exodus chapter number 12. In verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall take, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite all the land of Egypt. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into the sanctuary with God's precious people. I thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Calvary's Lamb that's able to make the vilest soul clean. Lord, I ask you that you would anoint the words that we preach, oh God. Anoint these lips of clay. I pray as I would be an oracle of God this morning, speaking into eternal souls that are never going to die. I pray that you would anoint every ear that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say. Lord, speak to us by your word and by your spirit. We ask you in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning the simple thought, when I see the blood. The message of the blood is still and will always be the cornerstone of Christianity. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus, we have no Christianity. We have no eternal life. But because Jesus willingly went to the cross over 2,000 years ago, I can now come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. I thank God for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we just lift our hands at the beginning of this service and thank him for the power of the blood? The Bible mentions the word the blood, or deals with the blood, in the Old and the New Testament over 300 times. Oh yes, from the book of Genesis all the way to the end in the book of Revelation, we find ourselves a crimson stream of blood running throughout the pages of the Word of God. Oh, they would say, and they would make the accusation, that world, oh, you preach just a bloody gospel. Well, I can tell you those claims are accurate, because this gospel is a bloody gospel. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings comfort to this soul today, because the blood has never lost its power. It makes this old sinner boy accepted in the beloved today. I don't stand before God Almighty in my own righteousness, because my own righteousness is filthy rags. I stand in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did 2,000 years ago. What do you do, preacher, when the enemy comes in like a flood? I pray. I claim the blood. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord raises up a standard against the devil. This is a powerful message of the blood. I'm telling you, from Genesis through Revelation, a crimson stream of blood. Harvest Time Church, let me just say this without fear of contradiction today. The blood still soothes my doubts, and it calms all my fears. I love the song. And it dries up all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never lose its power. Oh, I love those songs on the blood. There's nothing wrong with some of the new songs, but they're more inspirational. No, listen, the gospel is the birth, the death, the resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we need to get back to the old theological songs about the blood of Calvary. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the blood is powerful today, and the devil hates the message on the blood. My pastor, Brother Red Taylor, he was a Bible preaching man. He memorized this King James Bible. The first 3 years of his salvation, he fasted Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the week. And he said everywhere he went, he said, Brother Matt, he said the Holy Ghost was moving and operating such a way. He said everywhere I went, it seems like I came in contact with demonic people. demon-possessed people. He said one particular camp meeting, he was preaching under a tent, under the sawdust floor. And he said the Holy Ghost, he had a message. He had a message lined out. But he said, before I got up on that platform, the Holy Ghost told me, preach on the blood. He said, I went to the book of Leviticus whenever it talked about the priest having the blood on the right thumb, the right earlobe, and the right big toe. And he said, I opened up my Bible and I began to read that text. He said, I came off that platform preaching on the power of the cross, the power of the blood. And he said, on that front row, he said, two demon-possessed people begin to manifest. Why is that? Because the devil hates the message on the blood. He knows it's his undoing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I are walking right and the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and we're living in right relationship, it's then where the power of Christ and the Holy Ghost is manifested in our life. Listen, I am no match for the devil, but greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, he can't deal with that Christ man living within you. We may be no match for him, but he's no match for my Jesus. He made a show of the devil openly triumphing over him. Message on the blood of Jesus. Why do you have to preach on this bloody gospel? Why do you have to preach and teach on such divisive things as in same-sex marriage being an abomination to God, adultery being a sin against God, drunkenness is still against the word of God, or maybe this message that Jesus is the only way to heaven? They say that's divisive teaching. Well, let me tell you, if it's divisive teaching, our God's a divisive God. He brings a sword, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you today, there is still a message, and it is Christ is the only way. Good works, not your spiritual resume, what you've done, where you've been. Only by the precious blood of Jesus is a man cleansed from his sins. Jesus alone is the only way to salvation. Listen, they don't mind if you pray to a God, because when you pray to a God, it can be defined as any God. They just don't want you praying to the Jesus man. The only bridge between heaven and earth. The only hope for all humanity. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to say his name aloud. Jesus. It's still the sweetest name I've ever known. It's Jesus in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. I'm a Jesus man. I'm in love with him because he first loved me. He loved me when I was unlovable. Jesus and his blood is the only way to heaven. I was in a local business, a very nice man. I won't tell you the name of the business. Very nice. And I told him about our church, and he said, "Well, we're and I understand what I think he meant was different denominations within the Christian movement. I hope that's what he meant." But he just said, "Listen, everybody that seeks after God is going to heaven. We're just taking different paths." And I looked at him and I said, yes, I believe the different Protestant movements and Christian organizations, if you're really saved by the blood of the cross, you're going to heaven. But don't forget this one thing. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. Don't you believe the charlatans that'll tell you that there's many ways to heaven. No, there's one way to heaven. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Allah. It's not due to Calvary. It's by the power of the blood. And that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Listen, I'm not surprised that so many have changed their view on the absolute truth that Jesus is the only way. Why is that, preacher? Because in 2008, Billy Graham, you look it up on YouTube, Billy Graham said these words, there are many paths to heaven. He was referring to different religions. There was a time he didn't say that. I pray he's repented since then. Amen. In 2014, T.D. Jakes, oh, preacher, don't name any names. Well, let me tell you something. When they're against the word of God, I'm going to call them out. He told Oprah Winfrey that there are many paths to God. I pray Mr. Jakes repents before it's too late. Whenever you denounce that Jesus is the only way, you've denounced the word of God and you have renounced your Christianity. I'm telling you today, there's only one way, and it's through the blood of the cross. Hear me today. The truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me make it unmistakably clear this morning. The only way to eternal life is by the blood of the cross. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Hear me today. Without the blood, Christianity is a dead religion like every other religion. Let me tell you, all the other religions, they may have some, but they cannot save your soul. Listen to me, they cannot change a life. It was Bert Clendenin that said, Christianity is the only religion that can take a bad man and make him good. Come on, you know what I'm trying to say today. You know exactly what he was trying to say. What is he trying to say? The blood, once it touches your soul, it changes a man from the inside out. I'm telling you today, I can remember in 1996 when the blood of Jesus touched this alcoholic's heart. Whenever the blood of Jesus touched my sin-sick soul, I was changed. My cusser got saved, amen. My blue bomber, the 1991 Toyota Camry, I don't believe in cars getting saved, but let me tell you something. The car got sanctified because the places I used to go of questionable amusement, the bars, all those type of things. Oh, I was going to revivals, burning up the roads. Why? Because whenever a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Oh, things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a blood preacher because I know the blood will cleanse, it will change, it will protect and cleanse you. The blood is a powerful thing. Because of Adam's willful sin in the Garden of Eden, all humanity was born into sin. You know that. Because of one man's sin, you know the story. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam willfully partook and stepped down from that place that he was at in God. He willfully transgressed the law of God. And because of the sin entered into Adam's life, we're all Adam's offspring. We're all born into sin. That means when we were born, I'm telling you, just watch two little children. You watch two or three-year-old children in a nursery. One will take the toys. They'll both have the same kind of toy, but the other one for the toy. I'm telling you, the sin nature is a real thing. You don't have to teach anybody to be bad. Why? It's in our nature. It's in Matt Gregory's nature. I heard people say, well, I'm not that bad. I don't believe that God would judge me. You better think again, because none of us are good. None of us are holy. It's only by the blood of Jesus that I'm holy in the eyes of God. All of the things that I've done, it doesn't amount to anything. All that matters is I come by the way of the cross. Oh, when God looks at me, he doesn't look at my Matt Gregory. He looks at his son and the blood of Jesus that's covered my life. Sin has poisoned the blood. Do you hear me? But God had a plan because of sin poisoning the blood. Oh, listen, that plan was a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we know that it was in a tabernacle in the Old Testament. And then blood sacrifice in the New Testament. But I began to do a study on the blood. And if you do a study, you'll see some interesting facts. And you can compare the natural blood of man. And you can look at the body of Christ and see the similarities. We know that our red blood cells are called erythrocytes. Try to say that real fast. Erythrocytes. Erythrocytes are the red blood cells that carry oxygen throughout all the cells in the tissue of the body. It's an amazing thing. Every 23 seconds, the erythrocytes, they bring that blood, and it goes through all the tissues and the organs. But something very interesting about the red blood cells. Not only does the red blood cell bring oxygen to the tissues of the body, but at the same time, it picks up the trash. It picks up the garbage. It picks up the carbon dioxide. It carries it through the lungs, the skin, the bowels. Oh, come on. Let me tell you something. At the same time, it doesn't even cross-contaminate. It brings oxygen to the cells, the red blood cells, and at the same time, it moves out the trash without cross-contamination. Don't you tell me that we aren't fearfully and wonderfully made today. Oh, there is a God in heaven. I don't believe I came from a rock nor from a monkey. I believe that I am made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. Oh, listen, God is good and His mercy endures forever. This process of the blood moving throughout that body takes place and then starts over every 23 seconds. Think about it. Think about the fact that it can bring ash without cross-contamination, just like the blood of Jesus in the body of Christ. His precious blood gets to every member within that body, and it gives them the life-giving flow and all the good things the blood of Jesus gives. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, everything we have need of is in the atonement. Get the blood, everything we have need of, just like the blood for the body. Christ's blood is for its members. His precious blood gets to every member with that life-giving flow. It carries out the waste and the poisons of sin. Come on, church. That ought to make you shout right there. It goes into that body and it removes all the impurities when we truly repent. Oh, listen to me. God's merciful. God's not waiting to destroy you. God's waiting to save you. God wants to help you. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of Father we have. There are so many that have the mindset, God's waiting to get me. He's waiting to destroy me. No, yes, He's a holy God. Yes, He requires you to live separated from sin. But God is a God of mercy, and He's looking to show and exhibit mercy. Oh, it was the psalmist David and said, good mean. He was talking about the hounds of heaven that would be on his track. If he got off course, he, the Holy Ghost, would come and get a hold of his heart. That's the kind of God that we serve. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Think about this. If we walk in the light, listen, I'm not preaching two different messages here. I believe in the blood cleansing a man, but you got to walk in the light. You can't walk in darkness. You got to walk in truth. Oh, listen, men who are in darkness, they don't want to come to the light. Why? They don't want their deeds being exposed. The Word of God, the Holy Ghost, will expose who I am. Listen, Holy Ghost preaching, I'm going to tell you, that preaching and minister's restoration, listen, He knows where we are. Yes, I'm saved on my way to heaven, but I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. Oh, come on, church. But I've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1:7, then we have fellowship one with another, and then the blood cleanses us from all sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What about the part of the natural blood that fights infection? The red blood cells are called the erythrocytes, but the white blood cells are called, and doctors in here, leukocytes. Leukocytes are the white blood cells, and they're like a standing army against infection. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know whenever there's an infection in the body, it sends signals to wherever the leukocytes are produced. And they begin to multiply rapidly. Isn't that awesome? I mean to tell you, they that's why whenever your blood white blood cell count is high, they know there's an infection in that body. The leukocytes, they begin to multiply, and then those white blood cells go and attack that infection. Praise the name. The blood of Jesus not only heals us from sickness, but also attacks sickness and disease. Oh, Psalms 103:2, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity and who healeth all my diseases. Everything we have need of is in the atonement. If you were going to shout, you should have shouted right there on that part. I'm telling you, everything is found in the atonement. Oh, the blood of Jesus not only secured eternal life, but also secured divine healing. I believe in divine healing, don't you? The old timers wouldn't even go to the doctor. Wouldn't even take medicine. I'm not saying it's wrong to take medicine. Go to the doctor. I believe the Lord gives them wisdom and understanding. And I honor our physicians in the medical field. I appreciate it. But I remember Brother Taylor, he used to preach it so hard. I mean, he would preach, and he was, what he was doing is he was standing. I had people come up to me throughout the years, some of our seniors, and they said, "You think Brother Taylor thinks we're not saved?" I said, "No, he knows you're saved. He's just standing on the word of God for himself." You know, there were times he would get sick in his body. My old pastor, my friend, my mentor, he would get sick in his body. But he wouldn't go to the doctor, but one of his grandkids get sick. And if he'd pray for him, but he'd say, "Hey, go to the doctor if you don't get well." But I came to Brother Taylor and I said, "Brother, why won't you go to the doctor when we know you're not feeling well?" And he said, "Son, listen to me." He said, "The same blood that cleansed my sins able to heal my body." He said, "How can I trust the Lord to cleanse me by his blood if healing?" I looked at him and I said, "Man of God, you got a point. Oh, come on. How can we trust for the blood to cleanse us from all manner of sins if we can't stand for divine healing?" Let me tell you, there's a healer in the house today, and his name is Jesus. He still opens blinded eyes. He still heals cancer. He can heal a headache. He can take away tumors. Why? Because there is a healer and he is still able to heal. God is a healer. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose, pay attention to those words, by his stripes you were healed. That's past tense. What he's saying is, what the writer's saying is, it's already been paid for. What we've got to do is stand in it, believe it. Listen, you've got to trust God. You've got to stand on the word of God that he's still a healer. Well, why didn't he heal my mom or my brother or my sister? I don't have all the answers, but if I die today, it doesn't change anything. He's still a healer. I don't care if I preach a message of salvation and someone that's lost doesn't come and get saved. He's still a Savior. Oh, listen, it doesn't change according to what man does. I can tell you, God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The government has tried everything with all their programs to rehabilitate pedophiles, drug addicts, thieves, and murderers, but they don't have the answer. Why? Because it don't work. You can go through programs. I'm not saying I'm against every program, because I'm sure there's some good Christian-based programs. But let me tell you what will help you. Let me tell you, I don't need is a divine counter with a supernatural God. Oh, listen, it's the Holy Ghost that brings conviction to a man's heart. And it's the Holy Ghost that applies the blood of Jesus to your sin sick soul. What we need to do, we need to get back to the simplicity of the gospel again. We've got all these things that we want to tell people. What we need to do is tell them, come see a man. Come see a man that's not only told me everything about my life, but come see a man that can cleanse you, that can heal you. I was this, but now I have changed by the power of the cross of Calvary. Come see a man that changed me, that gave me a joy and fulfilled the inner longing. longing in my heart. Oh, his blood will cleanse you. He will give you joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He'll fulfill the emptiness in that heart. Come see a man. His blood will change you. They don't have the answer. The government doesn't have the answer. Compromising churches that appeal to the flesh don't have the answer. Listen, what is the answer? Come to a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's blood, and they lose all their guilty stains. The blood, the blood, the blood. Listen to me today. Modern day preaching doesn't focus on the blood or the cross. Modern day preaching focuses on you, your best life now. Make a better you right now. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Get you a bigger house, a big one. Hey, if God really blesses you, can get you an airplane. Come on. Oh, when Brother Clinton was watching one preacher on that charismatic station, I don't remember exactly which one it was. One man said, listen, my faith got me a jet airplane. My faith delivered me from the vanity of wanting a jet airplane. Come on. But I'm telling you today that the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. Oh, the blood. The modern day preaching focuses on making a better you, your best life now. Jesus said, any man who seeks to save this life, this old flesh, is going to lose this life. But if you lose your life for the gospel, you're going to find your life. Listen, the whole reason for living is Christ and Christ alone, and given to others and poor field. It's time to be poured out, giving to the lost, the hurting, the poor, the dying. Listen, you can't sanctify the old man. You remember that terminology when Sarah Palin was the running mate? You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Remember that? You can't sanctify this flesh. You can't make the flesh better. That's our problem. Modern day preaching says make the flesh better. Just add Jesus to whatever you are. Listen, the flesh, old man, you can't make him better. Listen, the flesh has got to die. That doesn't align itself right with modern day preaching. But let me tell you something. It'll make you feel better anyways. When this flesh dies, that's when Christ can live and manifest in your life. It was Paul that said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me tell you why we get our feelings hurt so much. Because we're too focused on my own joy. What I need to do is look for a hurting person. I can tell you, let me tell you the remedy for depression. Let me tell you the remedy for that poor me spirit. Look for somebody else that's hurting and go help somebody else. Whenever you begin to bear ye one another's burdens, you'll fulfill the law of Christ and it'll make you feel good all over more than anywhere else. Whenever you love people, when you give to people, whenever you stop thinking about your own problems and help somebody else. Hear me today. I want you to hear my heart. You can't sanctify the old man. The old man's got to die. That's what he wants. And follow this Christ. You cannot sanctify the old man. The old man's got to die. In our text in Exodus chapter 12, when Israel was waiting on deliverance from Egypt, God was about to give them one of the great types and shadows of the ultimate blood sacrifice. In our text, he tells Israel, they're in Egypt. He tells them to prepare a lamb, a spotless lamb. They were to kill the lamb. They were to take the blood of that lamb and strike it on the two side posts and the upper post of that door. And then he gave a type of Christ, and he said, eat the whole lamb. Eat it all. Take in all of Christ. What a picture. But he says, you place that blood on the side post and the upper post of that door. And then he says this in verse number 22 of Exodus 12. None of you shall go out of the house till morning. I want you to get the picture before I really dig into this. He said, place the door on the two side posts and the upper post of that door. And none of you shall go out of the house till morning. The next verse of scripture in verse 23, he talks about the destroyer, the death angel coming through the land and killing the message from them, that type and that shadow of Christ in the end times. There's a death angel that's going to come. There is a true judgment that's coming on the land today. And I can tell you what the message was to them: stay in the house till morning. I'm going to tell you the message is to Harvest Time Church and the last day church waiting on the rapture: stay in the house till morning. What does that mean? Under the blood. And don't you cross the bloodline. Don't you willfully transgress the law of God. Listen, if you willfully cross that bloodline, your blood's on your own hands and you can die. You could die before you get back into that place of safety. Oh, there's a lot of folks in the last day. They're in and out of that house. They're playing Russian roulette with their eternal soul. Listen, whenever you willfully transgress that law, Hebrews 10 and 26, listen to the little scripture. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the sacrifice, fearful, looking for a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Let me just say it like this. You keep going in and out. I'm not saying that every time you fail, you're out of the kingdom. I don't believe like that. I believe in the grace of God, the mercy of God. But rebellion, that's between you and God. When you cross over that bloodline, your life is in your hands. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not worth it. What we need to do is just stay in the house till morning. Don't you leave the house of God. Don't you leave your relationship with Jesus. He's about to come back. He's about to rapture us out of this place. Don't worry about what your friends and your neighbors and your co-workers think. Stay in the house till morning. Don't cross the bloodline. Don't allow anything to allure you and to pull you out. I don't know that this happened. I'm not saying it did, but you can't prove to me that it didn't. If I'm a dad and I struck the blood on the two side posts of that door and on the top post of that door, and I'd probably shut that door and I'd get some boards and I'd nail them up over that door just in case my children wanted to walk out. Just in case, I mean, I'd probably, after I nailed all those boards up, I'd probably move the couch right there and push it right up in front of that door right there. I might even put the whole house there. I'd guard that door. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to guard the door of our house. Oh, don't let your children do whatever they want to do. Oh, it's up to you. You may, listen, God didn't call you to be their best friend. God called you to be mom and dad. It's not saying you can't be their friend, but you're mom and dad first. I tell my children, I tell Caleb, I said, listen, I believe when you get older, you're going to be my best friend. But right now, I'm your daddy, and I'm going to protect you from all that. We get serious about the house and staying in the house till morning. Oh, the death angels are coming. Judgment's coming on the land, and we cannot afford to die out of the house. It's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. When Israel was there, the death angel came. And he killed all the firstborn. But listen, this is the message here. He said, stay in the house till morning. He said, strike the door, the blood on the side post and the upper post of the door. And he said this, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not whenever I see your holiness, not whenever I see you, not the way I see how holy you dress or how you are perceived and how eloquently you pray. No. He didn't say all those things. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. How am I getting out of here alive, preacher? I can tell you how: by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a cleansing blood. It's a sanctified blood. When I see the blood, I've seen the righteous, the self-righteous spirit out there that think everybody else is not as holy as they are. Listen, we aren't near as holy as we think we are, including yours truly. When we look at then and only then are we ashamed of our iniquities. It's then and only then are we coming under conviction. The most foolish thing that we can do to build ourselves up and give us a false perception of our holiness is to begin to compare ourselves with another brother or sister. That's a foolish thing to do. No, what he wants us to do is compare ourselves to him. It's then, that's when conviction comes. My inner cry is this: I want to be just like you, Jesus. I want to walk like you, talk like you, love what you love, and hate what you hate. Come on. What is the perfect will of God, preacher? I can tell you, it's the inner cry we must have. As John the Baptist cried out, I must decrease, he must increase. The inner cry of every Christian is, I want to be just like Jesus. That is the cry of the Holy Ghost today. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Listen, I've seen the self-righteous, that they appear to be holy, but inwardly they're full of jealousy, unforgiveness, and pride. I believe it was Brother Zane that I heard give the illustration about going through the calisthenics of religion, and you can look so holy, but you can have a tongue so long that gossips that you can wash all them cars from 10 feet away. That's a good illustration, Brother Zane. Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Oh, listen, we better be careful. We better be careful. Listen, any of us are susceptible to sin, temptation, and failure. And that's why even so much more, when we see a brother or sister that has fallen, we need to run to their rescue. We don't cast them out. We don't bury the wounded. No, what we do, the fold of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something. We've all sinned, every one of us in this house, and come short of the glory of God. But what did God do whenever we came to that altar? He forgave us. That's the kind of God that we serve. Can we have someone come to the piano this morning? Some of you in this house have lost your confidence in the blood. I deal with this all the time. I have fallen and they just cannot forgive themselves. Listen, I understand. I preached on a couple weeks ago, true or false repentance, ? There is a false repentance that you got caught and there's no changing. You're more concerned about what people think. But true repentance is you hurt the heart of God. You hurt the heart of God. But I know people who have really had all the fruit of true repentance, but they just cannot forgive themselves. The enemy constantly places thoughts in their mind that they don't really love God. They've fallen again. How could you do this? They don't even want to come to the house of God. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a trick of the devil. Do you hear me? That is a trick of the enemy. I'm not making light of sin, and I'm not making light of falling. I'm not doing any of that. But what I am saying is this, that the enemy wants to discourage you. He wants to bring condemnation upon you. Let me tell you the difference in condemnation and conviction. One comes from the devil. One comes from God. And if you're not discerning and understand the difference, you can get them mixed up a whole lot. You certainly don't want to come in this place and you certainly don't want the devil to condemn you constantly and you think it's God. Let me tell you the difference in condemnation and conviction. Condemnation constantly brings up what you did. And the enemy will say things like this: you don't love God. You keep falling. How many more times are you going to do this? If they only knew what you were. There's a lot of other things that he'll say to you, but it's a pressing down. Whenever you're like this, you're down in the mouth. I mean, I don't know all the things the enemy says, but he says a lot of different things. And I've seen people come into the church. I can look at, I don't even have to have a whole lot of discernment. I can look in their face and I can say, oh man, they're condemned. Or the difference in being in conviction, the Holy Ghost will convict you. If you don't respond, it's a bad, bad thing. You will become miserable. But he'll convict you, and he'll deal with you of that sin. He'll show you the holiness of Christ. He'll show you judgment to come if you don't repent. But he always points you to the cross. He always speaks to you and says, there's hope. I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. Listen, there's a difference in condemnation and conviction. Some of you have been under the cloud. Eradicate that out of your mind for you to identify what the devil's been doing to you. Get it right with God. Repent. Oh, get it under the blood. But if you allow condemnation to take over your life, it's a bad thing. It's a real bad thing. He'll paralyze you. He'll get you out of church. He'll make you feel like you can't do anything for God. And before long, you'll fully backslide and leave Almighty God. Don't fall to that game, that trick, that strategy of the enemy. Can we stand? Holy Ghost, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost would restore someone's confidence in the blood of Jesus. Have I been perfect since I've been saved, since 1996? Absolutely not. I probably repented more than anybody in this house. But I want to tell you something. I have confidence in the blood of Jesus. I have confidence in the blood. And when I have confidence in the blood, because I've truly repented, I've turned from that sin, I've turned from it. And when your heart's right and you want to please God, not only are you cleansed, boldness to enter in the holiness, the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know what happened in the Old Testament? When the priest would go in one time a year, they'd go in one time a year to make an atonement for the sins of the people. You remember that? They would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat between the two cherubims. They'd sprinkle that blood. But they first had to make an atonement for their own sins at the door of that tabernacle. Why? Because if that high priest was to go into that most holy place with sin in his life, he'd drop dead. They would tie a bell, a rope with a bell on the ankles of those priests. If that bell stopped making noise, they'd pull that rope out because that priest had not had his sin. But on the other side, when the priest would sprinkle the blood once a year, hear me. We can get it sprinkled every day. You don't have to live in sin. You can be free. But when the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat between the two cherubims, the Bible said that the glory filled the holy, most holy place, and the priest could not even stand in the presence of the Lord. Here's what happens. Let me tell you the principle. Salvations? Do you want to see divine miracles? The key is getting every sin under the blood. Just like in the Old Testament, the pattern throughout the Word of God, and if you study the history of revivals, it's only whenever the people of God repented and dealt with the sin issue. Sin's a killer, ladies and gentlemen. It's a killer. It's not just some kind of a weakness and frailty of the flesh. Sin will kill you. It is a destroyer. When you deal with that sin, all throughout the history of revivals, when they repented, whenever they did what God taught, I'm telling you, whenever we individually and collectively get all the sin under the blood, the glory's going to fill the house again. That Shekinah glory. We're going to see that cloud hover down, and you're going to see miracles like you've never seen before. I'm telling you, there's a miracle in the making right now. What's the key to revival? True repentance. Oh, believe in God. He said, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Some in this house need to be cleansed this morning. You got sin. You know what you need to regain confidence in the blood. You're condemned all the time. And all of us need to remember what he commanded Israel in Exodus 12 and 22. And that is this: once you strike the blood on the side post in the top of that house, and you go in that house and shut that door, stay in the house till morning. Don't leave. All the signs, all the prophecies, everything's already been fulfilled. Jesus could come at any moment. Jesus said, if the goodman of the house would have known what hour the thief was going to come. He'd have stayed up. He'd have watched. He'd have been ready. But he didn't know. Let us be ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looked around in this house. Father, I preach what you've given me to preach today. Lord, you said when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, I know that you're dealing with so many hearts in this place. Lord, we are living in the very last days and you're waiting. I know you knew who was going to be here today. You know who's watching by Facebook. I pray, oh God, that you would apply the blood to those who have sin in that heart. Give them a heart of true repentance. And those, Lord, that have been living under condemnation, I pray that you would once again help them to regain their confidence in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, it's the blood that makes us clean. And Lord, I cry out to you today. Lord, give us an urgency. Play games. We don't become so unprepared that we miss out the greatest event that's about to take place. Help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help us. I'm just going to ask very quickly, if there's anyone in this house, you're away from God. I'm not saying, do you have some things in your life that you need to deal with? That's not the question I'm asking. If you're away from God, you say, I know I'm away from God. I'm lost without God. And I want God to save me today. I want you to slip that hand up and put it back down. Anyone in this house, you're away from God. You're just a backslider. Maybe you've never been born again. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and put it back down. I'm just going to give it a general altar call for these next two. And that is, there are some things you need to deal with. Others, you've dealt with them, but you can't forgive yourself. It's time to have confidence in what he said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn off Facebook, turn off the television, get in the word of God. Do you want life? Do you want faith to believe? Get in the word of God. Can we come and stand across the front of this building? Listen, we're not going to kneel this morning unless you want to kneel, but this is an emblem of an altar coming up here. Oh God, I'm asking you to help us. I want you to come in close with your family. We're just going to lift our hands to heaven.
What a sacrifice, Jesus, that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
Hallelujah.
And oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Blood of Jesus shed for me.
I want you to cry out to the Lord.
What a sacrifice.
If he has dealt with you about anything, if he has dealt with you about, it may be something small. It may be something that others would seem to be so insignificant, but if the Holy Ghost has put his finger on it, it may not be wrong for others, but if God's dealt with you about it, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You might have gone the extra mile. Will you go a mile again? He said, if you will judge yourself, you will not be. Great thing. If you judge yourself right now, you won't be judged on judgment day. Let's judge ourselves. Oh God, we're asking you to cleanse us.
The blood of
cleanse
Jesus
us, Jesus.
Washes me.
Hallelujah.
And all the blood,
oh,
of Jesus.
Oh yes,
for
Lord
me.
Jesus.
Oh, what a sacrifice.
I bless you, Lord.
Let's save.
I bless you, Jesus.
Yes, the blood is.
You will forgive with a heart of true repentance.
Oh, the blood.
Get it under the precious blood of Jesus.
Crimson love, price of life's demand. Shameful.
For if
sin,
we confess our sins,
place
he's
on
faithful.
Him.
And just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And oh, the blood of Jesus washes me.
The blood of Jesus is cleansing somebody in this house.
And oh, the blood. Oh, what a sacrifice that saved my life.
here this morning and you've been struggling with condemnation, usually people who really love God, the enemy will assault them with condemnation because and how much they want to please the Lord. If you're under condemnation today, you're probably somebody who really loves the Lord. And the enemy knows that. I want you to lift your hands all over this building. And I just want you to ask the Lord to help you to identify the difference between condemnation and conviction. God loves you. He wants you to come back to Him just like the prodigal son. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord.
The precious
Lord, I'm asking you, help me today.
We're singing on the blood.
Help me today, Lord. Help me, Lord.
On the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you,
oh,
Jesus.
What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood. To the sin-stained life, Your blood is healing for the hopeless and broken. Your blood is enough. Jesus, it's enough. It's renewing and healing, delivering captives, in the middle of is my refuge when I'm hurting and alone. Your blood is enough. Oh, Jesus, it's enough, for it's renewing, restoring, saving and healing, delivering.
A Father's Day message, because daddies, all the dads in the house, the picture I gave you about that man, that Israelite man, when he got in that house and he knew the death angel was coming, I don't believe he left that door unlocked. I don't believe he left that door unguarded. We have some fine men of God in this house. None of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes. We're all growing. We're developing in the Lord. Some of us wish we could go back. There's things that my children are, but I'm not going to live in that. I'm going to change what I had. Whenever the Lord dealt with me, I changed it right then. And I just do what I can do. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And you have to do this. Not literally. Don't block the front door of your house. But spiritually, do whatever you got to do. Keep that family in the house till morning. That's all that matters. It's all that matters when we take our last breath or the rapture takes place, is that we're in the house behind the blood. Can you lift your hands to heaven and thank Him for the power of the cross, for the thank you, even in, as men and fathers, all of our weaknesses, our mistakes, our frailties, God, you're so good. You're so merciful. For every family in this house, I ask you, Lord, that they would deal with needs to be dealt with. Every man would have the tenacity, would have the burden, would have the strength of Almighty God to protect their family from leaving that house, from leaving Christ. Time of need. Be with these families. Those watching by Facebook, touch them and help them today. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sing it together. Let's sing it out loud. Loud voices. Hallelujah.